Tired of being in the dark about your investment? How does your portfolio's performance really measure up? Is your investment plan on or off track? Get the answer at PortfolioReportCard.com. Ron DeLegge's grading system of A, B, C, D, or F will tell you if your 401k plan, IRA, or other investment account passes or fails. But that's not all. If your portfolio gets an A, Ron will pay you $100. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and find out if you pass or fail.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Coming up on today's show, Ron DeLegge does a portfolio report card on a $10.7 million investment portfolio. What does a $10.7 million portfolio look like? Well, you're going to hear and find out on today's show. We're going to dissect it together. It's for TCE in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. It's divided between a taxable brokerage account and a 401k plan. And we're going to dissect it on today's show together. Does it pass? Does it fail? What kind of grade does this portfolio get? How does it do in terms of cost? How does it do in terms of risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance? And does it merit an A? Find out on today's show. If you'd like to join us to talk about your own portfolio, a specific stock, mutual fund, ETF, if you want to talk investment themes for 2015, I'm game. 877-711-5611. That is the number. Give us your first name along with your city. You can tweet us live at Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you don't want to call or tweet, you can, of course, email me, ron@indexshow.com. So let's take a look, before we get into this portfolio report card for TCE, $10 million portfolio, let's just take a look real quick and give you a recap on what's happening so far in the financial markets. Now, I want to begin with the S&P 500, which is in positive territory slightly on a year-to-date basis. Now, I want to just give you an update on valuations. This is according to FactSet, which looked at the P/E ratio, a measure of valuations for U.S. stocks. And if we take a look at the 12-month P/E ratio current forward, again, the current forward 12-month P/E ratio for the S&P 500, it right now is at 16.6%. I'm sorry, 16.6. And how does that compare to history? Well, it is slightly above the forward 12-month PE for the 5-year, 10-year, and 15-year historical average. So we're at 16.6 right now. And that is, again, slightly above 5, 10, and 15-year averages. So in terms of valuations, yes, you could say U.S. stocks are slightly overvalued. Now, nevertheless, does that mean, well, we should short the market? We should get out? Well, not really, because of the fact that, first of all, you take a look at the technicals, which tell us about the trend of the market, and we yet have not seen a break in the trend, that uptrend in stocks. So from a tactical perspective, those of you that are trading this on a short to intermediate basis, the trend is still up, so you know what to do. Now, from a longer-term perspective, in terms of your own portfolio, take a look at what you own. How much exposure do you have to the U.S. stock market? It may be time to rebalance your portfolio. It may be time to tweak some of your exposure. The fact that U.S. stocks have gone up 6 consecutive years may mean that you need to rebalance your portfolio because of the fact that U.S. stocks now represent a bigger part of your overall asset mix. And so it may be time to rebalance your portfolio back to its target asset mix or asset allocation. So take a look at that, 877-711-5611. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. Taking a look at some of the S&P 500 industry sectors, which give us a real clear picture of what's really moving the market, what industry sectors are driving the market higher. And you take a look at a couple of industry sectors that sizzled in 2014 and are once again sizzling in 2015. Take a look at the healthcare sector, ticker symbol XLV, which tracks S&P healthcare stocks, already ahead by almost 4% since the beginning of the year. A great start for healthcare stocks. Same thing for utilities, XLU, ahead by just over 4%. Those two sectors led in 2014. They are once again leading in 2015. Some of the industry sectors that are not leading, but rather lagging, are energy stocks. XLE down just a little over 3% since the beginning of the year. Another one that's been lagging has been the financial sector. Some of those big banks and brokerage companies not doing so well in 2015. XLF, which tracks that area, down about 4% since the beginning of the year. So that's your sector wrap. If you'd like to join us, we're here, 877-711-5611. I should mention, I want to share a tidbit or two from the just published February issue of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. So I will make sure that we do that on today's broadcast, because I think that's absolutely what you deserve. So I will share one or two tidbits with you. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to be doing a portfolio report card for TCE in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Now, this is a pretty big portfolio, a $10.7 million portfolio. And I am going to dissect it on today's show. TCE came to me. He went to PortfolioReportCard.com and asked me for an analysis and a grade. And that's what I do. So, give you some background about him. He's 66 years old. His wife is 64. He's a part-time consultant. And his wife is still working. She plans to retire next year. They do not have any children. Now, this money is self-managed. He doesn't work with a financial advisor, and he told me that financial independence is what he's always strived for. And his investment strategy, when I asked him, you know, what does he do? How does he trade? How does he invest? Well, he told me he's a buy-and-hold investor. Now, a couple other details that you should know about him. He told me that his investing is his hobby. And that he loves also doing his income tax returns with TurboTax. He delights, I don't know many people that delight to do that, but he told me specifically that he enjoys doing his income tax returns. Okay, so that's what he enjoys doing. He's not much of a golfer or tennis player. He likes managing his $10.7 million. So is he doing a good job? He also told me that, and he said this a couple of times, that we're ready to gamble. And I take that to mean that he's ready to take more chances, more risk. He also told me that he has avoided buying international and emerging market stocks and foreign securities because, well, they haven't done very good over the past 30 years. So we're going to get into this portfolio on today's show. We're going to dissect it. We'll look at the cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance, and it's going to get an A, a B, a C, a D, or an F. Now, if we do a portfolio report card on this show and it gets an A, that means I call out the portfolio report card marching band, and how do they play? That's the music that the Portfolio Report Card Marching Band plays when we get an A, when you get an A on this show. And also, by the way, I pay you $100 for any report cards that I do that score an A. If you'd like to find out how your portfolio does, go to portfolioreportcard.com and get in touch with me. I will analyze and grade your portfolio. I don't just grade $10.7 million portfolios. I'll grade portfolios up to $10 billion. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegio.
Okay, before we get into this this portfolio report card for DCE in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I know you're dying to get into it and all of its intimate details, and so am I. I just want to just share with you quickly a chart, and I know you can't see it, but I want to explain it just briefly, what it explains and what the purpose of the chart is. It's being peddled and pushed by Wall Street celebrity Jeffrey Gundlach, and he's enjoyed a lot of success in the bond market. So he presumably knows something about stocks, and the purpose of this chart that he's been pushing is to point out that stocks have now risen six consecutive years. That's U.S. stocks, but have never accomplished that feat 7 years in a row. But unfortunately, as scary as that might seem, the chart is ignorant in a few departments, namely history. Now, first of all, there's something very special about the number seven. For example, in Genesis chapter 41, verses 53 to 55, it talks about the 7 years of feast and the subsequent 7 years of famine in Egypt. Now, by that measure, and that's history, one more year of feasting in the U.S. stock market, if you believe seven's a special number, isn't far-fetched. Now, beyond biblical history, and we don't mention it often, years ending in the number five that are also in the third year of a presidential cycle, when those two things happen at the same time, if we look back in history, it's been devastatingly bullish for stocks when both of these things coincide with each other. Years ending in five and the third year of the presidential cycle, you look at all the years going back to 1915, 1935, 1955, 1975, 1995. Every single one of those years, stocks have been bullish. Will this time be different? All by itself, though, and we talked about this several shows ago, but all by itself, the pre-election cycle year in the U.S. is perhaps the most impressive of all the market cycle indicators, with an accurate track record that rivals just about any. And you take a look at that, U.S. stocks have not posted a losing year during a pre-presidential election year in 76 years. That's where we're at right now. So the key here, though, is that stocks have not broken below key trend lines yet. That's, of course, the most important. Real-life price action always trumps historical data. Because, A, we can either make money on it, or B, lose money from it if we don't obey the market. So the interpretation is this. Don't bet against history unless the market technicals tell you to. 877-711-5611, that is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card where I analyze and grade your portfolio, and if you get an A, I pay you $100. Go to portfolioreportcard.com. Also, the February issue of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter is out, and I just shared with you a tidbit from that, talking about that chart and market history and where we're at in the stream of time in terms of stock market cycles. There's a lot more contained in the February issue, including our February ETF income trade, which is a covered call options trade on a low-cost portfolio of ETFs. And once a month, we do this. We sell covered calls. And we generate monthly income. Our February trade just generated over $1,100 of monthly income for February. Now, why do I say February? We're still in January. Well, because the trades always happen 1 month in advance. So that's how the income trade happens. And that's contained, again, in the February issue of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. Just go to etfguide.com and get your copy. So let's get back to the portfolio report card for TCE in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He's got a $10.7 million investment portfolio. It's divided across two accounts, a $7.1 million taxable brokerage account, and a $3.7 million 401k plan. Now, he's 66 years old. His wife is 64. He's a part-time consultant. He manages this money himself. And investing, he told me, is his hobby. He loves managing his own money. He also loves doing his income taxes with TurboTax. He delights in that. I hate it personally, but that's another matter. I don't find anything about taxes delightful. Regardless, he's got this 401k plan with $3.7 million in it. He owns 11 mutual funds. Among his largest holdings in that 401k plan, he's got $2 million in the Vanguard Total Stock Market ETF, as ticker symbol VTI, and then he's got $400,000 in the Vanguard Total Stock Market Mutual Fund, ticker symbol VGTSX. Those are his two largest holdings within the 401k plan, the $3.7 million 401k. He's also got a couple other funds that are much, much smaller positions, between $100,000 to $200,000 positions, ticker symbol FARX, CGMRX, ARTIX. These are some of the other funds that he holds inside the 401k plan. Now, in his taxable brokerage account, which is a $7.1 million account, he's got 13 mutual funds, 14 individual stocks, and 7 ETFs. Now, his largest holdings in the taxable brokerage account are $1.1 million in the Vanguard Extended Market Index Admiral Shares. That's ticker symbol VEXAX. That's a U.S. mid-small cap fund. Then he's got $1.2 million in the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, ticker symbol VTSMAX. Those are his two biggest holdings in the taxable brokerage account. So right there alone, he's got, what, $2.3 million divided into those two funds. Those are mutual funds, Vanguard funds. And then the other monies, his other next biggest position, and there's kind of a drop-off in terms of size. He goes of all the way down to $340,000. That's his next biggest holding after these two Vanguard funds. He owns $340,000 in McDonald's, ticker symbol MCD. Then he's got $320,000 in the Royce Opportunity Fund, RYPNX. This is a U.S. microcap fund, invests in really, really tiny stocks. And then he's got another $300,000 in the Vanguard Total Stock Market ETF, VTI. So those are his top five holdings in this $7.1 million brokerage account. So let's take a look at the first area of the grading category that is cost. Now, all of us, regardless of how big or small our investment portfolios are, should deliberately be minimizing investment cost. And that's what all well-built portfolios do. Now, the fact that someone happens to have a very large account such as this, a $10.7 million account, only means that there's more money at stake. Because the more money you have, the more money that you have at stake, and that means the more that you need to be ever vigilant at minimizing investment cost. Now, I look at the mutual fund and brokerage expenses of both of these accounts, and certain funds that he holds, like RTIX, CGMRX, FARX, FSLBX, these are the tickers, HIIGX, HAINX, all of these are much higher compared to corresponding index ETFs covering the same asset class or the same area. And when I total it all up, he's got almost $1 million in high fee funds alone in that taxable account. So he's got to do a much better job at reining in cost, TCE, reining in costs and reducing burdens for your investment costs. The cost of managing these positions also, 14 individual mutual funds, I'm sorry, individual stocks, 13 mutual funds, 7 ETFs. These positions are nickel and diming him away. I'll be right back. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
All right, welcome back from the break. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge, and we're doing a portfolio report card on today's show for TCE in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He's accumulated just over $10 million divided across a 401k plan and a taxable brokerage account. Now, the 401k plan has $3.7 million in it. It owns 11 different mutual funds. And then the taxable brokerage account, which he self-manages, it has $7.1 million, and it's invested in 13 different mutual funds, along with 14 individual stocks and 7 ETFs. And we mentioned in the previous segment some of his specifically largest holdings in both of these accounts. Now, in terms of cost, we, you know, look at the analysis of this portfolio, and I always try to identify problem areas in the portfolio. And a couple of things that really jump out at me are, even though the fact that he owns low-cost Vanguard funds, he's not really been very deliberate in making sure that he owns a share class that has the lowest expenses. He told me he's a buy-and-hold investor, and if that's true, well, then your ongoing expenses for the funds that you own for a long time should be an absolute mandatory exercise in making sure that the share classes that you own are the right ones with the lowest cost, and he's just not doing that. And I'll just give you a quick example. VGTSX, which he owns, he's got around $400,000 in that fund. It covers the total U.S. stock market. He's paying 22 basis points, yet he owns an ETF, VTI, that invests in the same area that charges just 5 basis points. And why doesn't he have the bulk of his money, instead of investing in the wrong share class that owns the same area and paying, you know, 4 or 5 times more annually? He should be in the lower cost share class, the ETF share class, and he's just not doing that with his exposure to U.S. stocks. Besides that, there's a lot of other funds that he owns that have very high expense ratios. I tallied it up, and he's got almost $1 million in high-fee funds, and it's just unacceptable for any type of account, including this one. Let's take a look at the next area, which is diversification. And the correct definition of diversification is broad exposure to all the major asset classes. So what are the major asset classes? Well, there's 5. You've got stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. Those are the big 5. Now, any portfolios that lack exposure to all these major asset classes are not, by definition, fully diversified. Now, what I see in TCE's portfolio is a lot of unevenness. Now, in some instances, he's diversified. In other instances, he's over-diversified. In certain cases, he's under-diversified. So what do I call that? What do I call an investment portfolio that has simultaneous condition of being under-diversified, over-diversified, and sometimes diversified? I call it uneven diversification. That's my definition. And there's also a lot of duplicated positions, and it's creating a condition called portfolio clutter. Just a couple of quick examples. STMX, which is a Fidelity Total U.S. Stock Market mutual fund. He's got that ticker. He also owns VTSMAX. He's got $1.2 million in that one. He's got another $300,000 in VTI invested in his taxable account, a taxable brokerage account, and then he's got another $2 million in the 401k plan in VTI. So these are all different ticker symbols, basically investing in the same area or asset class, the total U.S. stock market. Why does he have so many different ticker symbols hitting the same area? Again, it's a lot of clutter, and it just shows disorganization. Remember, portfolio diversification is not about the quantity of securities that you own, but rather how those securities are distributed across a variety of different asset classes. And unfortunately, TCE needs to declutter his portfolio. Now, the funds also, I should mention, that he's using, minus the Vanguard funds, are not what we would call acceptable broadly diversified proxies of the underlying asset class. Okay, so when we talk diversification, it's important that the funds that you're using to obtain that diversification are broadly diversified proxies that are accurate of the underlying asset class they're tracking. Now, FARX, which is part of his plan here, which account is that one? That's the 401k plan. He's got FARX, CGMRX, FSLBX, FSAGX. Some of these funds are engaging in something called style drift, meaning that they are not investing in the areas that they're labeled. They may be investing in asset classes unrelated to where they're supposed to be investing. And that creates style drift. That means these types of funds are not what we would consider accurate proxies of the asset classes they're tracking. And this is one of the problems, especially in his 401k plan, where he's got a number of actively managed funds that make up this $3.17 million portfolio, and he's got to do a better job at selecting and choosing core funds that give him that pure asset class exposure so he can be diversified in the way he should be. Now, another thing that he told me is that he has not invested in emerging or international stocks because over the past 30 years, they haven't performed very well. And you'll notice that his portfolio is very heavily weighted towards U.S. stocks. And he told me he did that deliberately because that's the only thing that's done well. That may be true, though, in the past. We don't know if it'll be true in the future, but it still doesn't negate the fact that international emerging market stocks are, in fact, underrepresented in TCE's $10.7 million portfolio. We never, ever make diversification decisions based upon historical performance of a certain asset class. And he's doing that, and it's a fundamental mistake. So he needs to improve in terms of diversification. I see a lot of clutter. I see a lot of non-core portfolios being used as core holdings, and that's a problem. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're doing a portfolio report card for a $10.7 million portfolio. This is for TCE in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And he's got a 401k plan as well as a taxable brokerage account. He self-manages this money. He is 66 years old. He works as a part-time consultant. His wife will retire next year. She's 64. They have no children. And he enjoys managing his money. He told me several times that he likes gambling. I don't know if he gambles in real life, but that was one of the things he said he enjoys doing. I certainly see some evidence of gambling in his portfolio, and I don't know that's a good thing. We're going to look at some other areas of his portfolio. We'll analyze risk, tax efficiency, performance, and then he'll get his final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Of course, an A grade means that he's done everything right. He's got a perfectly pitched baseball game. There's not really anything that needs to be changed or adjusted about the portfolio. A B is a pretty good score, too. It means that if there are changes that need to be made, they are minor. Minor modifications, minor adjustments, minor tweaks. A C, D, or F, on the other hand, means that this portfolio has major structural flaws that need to be addressed if the owner, if TCE, is going to reach his financial goals and stay on track. So we'll see what he gets coming up next. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. Go nowhere. It's never a bad day for some Scott Joplin, let me tell you. So some of the other things included in the February issue of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, a crude affair. This is pretty interesting. Never mind the 56% collapse in crude oil prices. Wall Street is still madly in love with things related to energy. That includes not just crude oil itself, but energy stocks. In fact, in terms of buy ratings, the energy sector is tied with healthcare for the highest percentage of buy ratings among Wall Street's analysts. 57%. That's the highest. And basically, this is a wonderful contrarian indicator. This is not the sign of a bottom. If you're looking for a bottom in energy stocks, enthusiastic buying, enthusiastic buy recommendations. I mean, the sign of a bottom is always capitulation selling by disgusted sellers. And we covered it earlier, the broader S&P 500, by historical standards, its elevation or valuation is slightly elevated. Well, that is true for S&P energy stocks, which also trade well above their 10-year historical levels in terms of price-earnings ratios. So I don't see really many deals or sales happening in the energy sector just yet. When capitulation selling strikes, when people are disgusted and they're selling and they're just getting rid of it because they don't want anything to do with it, well, that's going to be your buy signal. But we haven't yet seen that in the energy sector. Ticker symbol ERY, by the way, for those of you that are bearish on this sector, ERY aims for triple daily inverse performance to energy stocks. That ETF has been a very good performer over the past 6 months. And keep that one on your watch list. 877-711-5611. That's the number. I'm Ron DeLegge. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. If for whatever reason you're not able to catch our live broadcast, you can pick us up on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. Just search under the Index Investing Show. We're also on Spreaker, Spreaker, and you could pick us up there. Listen at your leisure, all of our archived programs. Now, let's finish this portfolio report card for TCE in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We are analyzing and grading his portfolio in five areas. We already looked at cost. He needs to make some improvements there. We looked at diversification. He needs to make some improvements there. And now we're going to look at risk. We're going to look at tax efficiency, and we're going to look at performance and then give him his final grade. So the combined portfolios, the 401k plan, which has $3.7 million in it, and the taxable brokerage account, which has just over $7 million in it, have a, we combine all these portfolios, have the following asset mix. Almost 93% exposure to U.S. and international stocks, just over 4% to cash, 2% to real estate, and around 1% to commodities. So just taking a look at that asset mix, and he's 66 years old, his wife is 64. Obviously, it's an asset mix that is very top-heavy in stocks. It's a hyper-aggressive asset mix, and I would say that's true even for someone that categorizes themselves as an aggressive mid-60s investor. Clearly, if we get a significant correction in stocks, let's just say a 20 to 40% correction, somewhere in that range. And I'm not saying that it's going to happen immediately, but we haven't had that sort of correction in a while, and they do happen. And if we get another one of that magnitude, then this current portfolio exposure that TCE is running around with is going to suffer potential losses between $2 million to almost $4 million. So depending on the magnitude of the losses, he could easily be cut in half, almost. So in terms of risk, I don't think he's doing a very good job at really managing his risk in a good way. I mean, obviously, he hasn't been creamed because stocks haven't been creamed in a while, right? I mean, really, the last losing year we had was in 2008, and stocks have been up six consecutive years and nine out of the past 10 years. And so people have kind of forgotten the fact that stocks can and do lose money. So in terms of risk, he's got to improve. Tax efficiency, what are we talking about here? Well, investment portfolios that deliberately minimize the negative impact of taxes. Now, there's two ways you can have a tax-efficient portfolio. The easiest way is to own tax-efficient investment vehicles, of course, low-cost and tax-efficient index ETFs fit the bill. They're very tax-efficient. And also, the other part of this is good asset location, making sure you own asset classes in the right types of accounts. Now, generally, REITs, and which are income-producing assets, REITs, as well as bonds, are best located in your tax-deferred accounts like your IRA and your 401k plan, whereas your more tax-efficient asset classes like your stocks can be held in your taxable account. Also, commodities, by the way, is not a tax-efficient asset class. That one is best held also in your tax-deferred retirement account or IRA or 401k plan. Now, he does own some commodities, ticker symbol GLD, which as well as real estate, ticker symbol CGMRX, in the taxable account. Now, that's not the best location for them, but what's important here is they represent a very small part of the total asset mix. And so in terms of, you know, tax efficiency, he's not doing a bad job. I would say average. In terms of performance, and this is the final grading category, and it's important for me to state with complete emphasis and very emphatically that your investment performance will either validate or incriminate your portfolio's overall architecture. And a portfolio whose performance does not match and does not exceed a blended index benchmark that matches the same asset mix as your portfolio is an architecturally unsound investment portfolio. Now, over the past year, TCE's portfolio, this $10.7 million portfolio, that's what it is now. Well, it grew 8.9%. It began just under $1 million, and it grew to what it is now for an 8.9% gain, while our blended passive benchmark, which matches his same asset mix, grew just over 12%. So he actually underperformed by 3.19%. That's unsatisfactory performance, and it also happened during a favorable market climate. If he can't perform in line with a passive index blended benchmark during good times, don't tell me that he's going to be able to do it during bad times. The final report card for TCE's $10 million portfolio, he gets a C. And this means the portfolio has significant structural flaws. His weakest areas are cost and performance. His diversification is sloppy. His risk level is not compatible with a mid-60s aggressive investor. And you might say to me, well, Ron, he's got $10 million. I mean, he's already succeeded. Well, let me just say this, that a good accumulator, as TCE is, does not automatically translate into a good investor. And accumulating $10 million doesn't necessarily mean you've been a good investor. Now, it could mean you've got a great income. It could mean you've been able to save lots of money over the years, which he has. It could mean you've hit the jackpot by selling a business or a highly appreciated asset. It could mean you just got a great inheritance. But it doesn't mean that you're a good investor. And so separate the two, differentiate between good saver, good accumulator, and good investor. If TCE can combine all of this, being a good accumulator, being a good saver, with being a good investor and addressing some of his portfolio's weak spots, and he has some pretty significant weak spots, I think he's going to see a better performance and hopefully sustainable performance that helps him to reach his financial goals. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card, go to portfolioreportcard.com. I will grade and analyze your portfolio. If you get an A, I pay you $100. I grade portfolios up to $10 billion in value. Past $10 billion, well, you don't really need a portfolio report card. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.